Welcome back to Scrubs and Giggles, Medical Student Edition, where stethoscopes are shiny, egos are fragile, and every student has a story they wish they could delete from existence. I'm Javier Cruz, your loyal moderator and proud survivor of at least three please stop talking moments during rounds.
And I'm Grace White, here to remind you that confidence is like an untrained puppy, adorable until it pees all over your case presentation.
Hi, I'm Lily Brooks. I once tried to impress a patient by translating their discharge summary into simple terms and accidentally told them they were dying. Spoiler, they were not.
Today's episode is called That Time You Tried to Impress and It Backfired. Because nothing humbles a med student faster than the moment your big brain move turns into a medical meme.
We're talking about those moments when you thought you were the main character and ended up being the educational warning slide in a faculty meeting.
You try to be helpful, you try to sound smart, you quote one line from first aid, and suddenly your attending is staring at you like you've just spoken in tongues.
We've got four fantastic stories today, from trying to flex in front of patients, to reciting textbook answers that had nothing to do with the actual case, to the kind of clinical confidence that gets you gently escorted out of the room.
Plus a rapid-fire round of ego implosions you can't make up because they all happened. To us, or people like us.
And if you've ever said pericardial effusion when you meant they look tired, you're in the right place.
So whether you're tuning in after rounds, mid-cry break in the bathroom, or just looking to feel better about that time you called a saline flush isotonic therapeutic support, we got you.
Med school, where survival is optional but laughter is mandatory.
Did I say that out loud? Oops. Anyway, here's what happened.
This is Scrubs and Giggles, and today we're diagnosing overconfidence. All right, let's kick off with a listener submission that perfectly captures the I got this energy, followed by the very quick realization that no, in fact, they did not got this. This happened during my third year OB-GYN rotation. I was assigned to follow a patient in early labor, and I was determined to prove I belonged in the delivery room. The attending was kind but quiet. The nurses were saints, and I was ready to shine.
Ah, yes, the med student confidence cocktail, two shots of ambition, one splash of delusion.
We're doing rounds and the attending asked me, what's your assessment of the fetal heart tracing? And I go, it's a beautiful category. Perfect variability, accelerations, no D-cells, textbook strip. I even smiled.
Oh no. You smiled?
Never smile while interpreting a fetal strip. It's like inviting the universe to humble you. She raises an eyebrow and says, can you point to the strip you're looking at? That's when I realized I had been reading the strip from the wrong patient.
No.
The patient I was following actually had late decelerations and minimal variability. I was giving a glowing review of someone else's baby.
That is the academic version of congratulating a stranger on their pregnancy. Mortifying.
I froze. I wanted to melt into the linoleum. The attending didn't yell. She just said, let's reorient ourselves before jumping to conclusions. I've never sweat through my scrubs that fast.
You could have mopped the floor with that shame.
I once gave a 5-minute presentation on a chest x-ray, feeling very Grey's Anatomy about it, only for the radiologist to walk in and say, interesting interpretation, but that's the wrong patient's scan. So, I relate deeply.
I tried to explain the pathophysiology of preeclampsia to a patient once and said, it's like your body forgets how to be pregnant. She looked horrified. I immediately pretended to choke on my own tongue to escape the moment.
Why is it that when we try to be impressive, our brains hit us with the worst analogies?
Because our brains are petty.
And honest.
Honestly, this story is a great reminder. Slow down, confirm the details, and never, ever assume you're looking at the right monitor in labor and delivery.
Also, if your assessment is glowing, triple check your sources. If everything seems perfect, something's wrong, and it's probably your data.
All right, Grace, you're up next. Tell us how your big clinical flex turned into a professional faceplant.
Gladly. It involves a confident speech, a room full of interns, and one deeply unimpressed nephrologist. All right, so picture it. I'm on my internal medicine rotation. We're rounding on a patient with rising creatinine, and I've decided today is the day I showcase my kidney knowledge. I'd been up all night reviewing nephro. My whiteboard at home looked like a crime scene from a GFR documentary.
The kind of confidence that only comes from index cards and 3 espresso shots.
Exactly. So the attending turns to me and asks, "Grace, what's your differential?" And I go, "Off. Prerenal, intrarenal, postrenal." I'm listing off causes, throwing in big words like glomerulonephritis and tubular necrosis. Even mentioned ATN and AIN with the smugness of someone who's just discovered potassium.
Oh no, potassium flex. Dangerous territory.
Then I say, and I quote, "Given the patient's BUN to creatinine ratio and lack of volume response, I suspect this is a case of acute interstitial nephritis." I even paused for dramatic effect.
Not the pause.
The attending just stares at me, then calmly says, "That would be interesting, except the creatinine rose because we stopped dialysis 2 days ago. This patient is end-stage renal disease, on chronic hemodialysis. That was in the chart."
No, no.
Grace, you tried to diagnose kidney injury. In a person without kidneys?
Essentially, yes. The chart even said aneuric. But I was so high on my own nephrology flashcards, I forgot to read the literal first sentence of the note.
You gave a TED talk on renal failure to a dialysis patient.
I could feel the residents trying not to make eye contact with me. The attending smiled, and said, "Let's all remember to check what the kidneys we're diagnosing actually have going on."
I love a good polite roast.
It's the "I won't yell, I'll just quietly shatter your soul" kind of feedback.
I wanted to crawl under the bed, or into the dialysis machine, either one.
I once tried to impress an attending by quoting a study I'd read. Except I got the journal wrong, the conclusion backward, and the year it was published off by a decade.
I tried to use the word iatrogenic in front of a patient and ended up saying iatrogenital, which is not a thing. The patient laughed. The attending did not.
Honestly, if you haven't fumbled a flex, are you even a med student?
Nope. It's a rite of passage.
All right, coming up. Our mid-show check-in, where we'll unpack these academic train wrecks and reflect on what we've learned, besides never trusting our own confidence.
Okay. I don't know about you two, but I'm starting to think that trying to impress anyone in medicine is basically a setup for personal humiliation.
Absolutely. Every time I've tried to flex, the universe's immediate response is, "Not today, stethoscope warrior."
And the irony is, the more confident you are, the faster it falls apart. Like the moment you call something classic on rounds, it's guaranteed to be the rarest zebra in the zoo.
Oh yeah, I once said, "This sounds like classic appendicitis." The patient had shingles in their ear.
Honestly, the takeaway here is humility saves lives and reputations.
And reading the chart. Reading the chart also saves lives.
It's wild how much of med school is just learning when not teased to speak.
But also, let's cut ourselves some slack. We're still learning. We're supposed to mess up. That's why we wear short coats and have emotional support pens.
Exactly. You try, you fail, you get roasted on rounds, and then you tell the story on a podcast years later, so thousands of strangers can cringe with you.
We're not alone in this, and neither are you, dear listener. So if you've ever tried to sound brilliant and ended up with verbal diarrhea of the iatrogenital variety, welcome home.
Up next, Lily takes us into the land of fancy medical language, a very confused patient, and a lesson in why simpler is usually smarter.
Okay, this happened during my family medicine rotation, and it still haunts me. I'd been practicing how to explain things to patients in a more professional way because, you know, I wanted to sound polished, like I belonged.
Dangerous territory.
That's how we end up using the word morbid in a well check.
So I go into this room with a lovely older patient. We're discussing her elevated blood pressure. She's anxious, and I want to reassure her while also sounding knowledgeable. I say, and I quote, "This may be secondary to your vasoconstrictive response modulated by renal perfusion irregularities."
What?
Lily, no.
Her exact response? "What in the Lord's name did you just say to me?"
Deserved.
I panicked. I tried to fix it and said, "You know how your kidneys are like scared?" She blinked at me and said, "My kidneys are what?"
"They're frightened, ma'am. It's a sympathetic nervous system Halloween party."
Exactly. I just kept digging deeper, metaphor after metaphor. I said her blood vessels were panicking like a traffic jam during a hurricane. It was clinical poetry, very ineffective poetry.
Did the attending witness this?
Oh, yes. He walked in as I was explaining that your body thinks it's in a danger movie and your heart is the lead actor. He just stared and said, "Let's circle back to the basics."
Which is academic code for please stop talking.
Honestly, the patient probably had a higher blood pressure by the end of that explanation.
She did, the nurse retook it after I left, up 12 points.
Communication, the ultimate double-edged scalpel.
I once tried to explain a biopsy result to a patient by saying, "There's a small collection of atypical cells that could be pre-neoplastic, but not yet dysplastic." He said, "So do I have cancer or not?" I said, maybe-ish, then promptly exited the room.
I've started playing a game called Would a Parent Understand This? If the answer is no, I stop and translate.
I ask myself, could I explain this to my dog? If not, I've gone too far.
Moral of the story, speaking simply doesn't make you look dumb. It makes you understood.
And sounding smart without being clear, that just makes you confusing, or dangerous, or both.
All right, our final story block is coming up. A classic case of watch me do this cool procedure turning into please someone take over. All right, our final story of the day comes from Naomi, a fourth-year student from Chicago who wrote in with what she called the single most mortifying 10 seconds of her clinical career. That's a bold statement, and I believe her. I was on my emergency medicine rotation, and my attending asked if I'd ever done a joint aspiration. I hadn't, but I'd watched a ton of videos, and I'd shadowed one last week. So naturally, I said, absolutely.
Lise, the most dangerous answer in med school. Yes, I've done that.
He handed me the syringe and said, okay, go ahead. Left knee, large effusion, pretty straightforward. I scrub up, I prep, I line up the needle, and I'm thinking, this is it. My OR audition. I'm about to be legendary.
No good story starts with, I'm about to be legendary, indali chi, you know, amsikis.
I insert the needle, smooth start. I aspirate, nothing. I adjust, still nothing. I try to redirect slightly, just a small angle. And then I hear it. Snap.
No, no.
You didn't break the needle. He tells me ye or curidiense. Iri kirbiyeri kyu yui di needle e yu ye e.
The needle didn't break. The syringe snapped off the hub. Half the syringe in my hand, the rest still connected to the needle, inside the patient's knee. Oh my gosh.
That's not even a humble fail. That's a whole clinical crime scene.
I froze. Everyone else froze. The attending calmly walked over, disconnected it safely, and said, okay, Naomi, let's step back for a second. The nurse handed me a stool. I thought it was to sit and regroup. It was so I could reach the cabinet and get a new syringe.
That's both devastating and weirdly sweet.
The stool of second chances.
Did she ever aspirate anything? Nope. We ended up re-prepping, and the attending did it himself, smooth as butter. I stood there feeling like a melted crayon. He said, you'll do fine once you stop trying to win an Oscar every time you touch a needle.
That line should be tattooed on every med student.
Honestly, being too eager to impress during procedures is one of the fastest ways to get humbled.
I once tried to demonstrate proper IM injection technique to a nurse who'd been doing it for 20 years. She let me finish, then said, that's adorable, sweetie. I died inside.
I once said, this can't be that different from drawing blood. It was a lumbar puncture. It was a very different.
Shout out to every attending who's ever gently saved us from ourselves. You're the real MVPs.
Coming up next, our rapid-fire round of impress fails that were mercifully brief but eternally scarring. All right, time for our rapid-fire round. Bite-sized tales of overconfidence and immediate regret. Let's get humbled quickly.
I told a patient, your heart sounds great. My attending leaned over and said, that's because you're auscultating the lung.
I was trying to impress my team by quoting the Krebs cycle during morning rounds. My attending said, unless the mitochondria are rounding with us, skip it.
I said epistaxis in front of a patient, then explained it meant a nosebleed. They said, I know, I watched House too.
I wore my reflex hammer on my belt loop trying to look official. It flew off mid-walk and hit my attending's shoe. He said, that's the only reflex I've seen all morning.
I tried to use a dermatoscope to look more advanced. I was holding it backwards for like 5 full minutes.
I called a murmur innocent in front of the cardiology fellow. She asked me to define the term. I said, it means harmless. She said, define it like a doctor.
I handed a textbook to my preceptor and said, "I thought this article might interest you." He wrote the article. He wrote it.
I volunteered to present on Cushing's syndrome. I kept saying Cushing's triad, wrong Cushing, wrong organ, wrong everything.
I described a rash as maculopapular with full confidence. Dermatology looked at me and said, "That word means nothing and everything. Try again."
I once told a patient, "We'll get you home today," right before their potassium came back at 6.8. The nurse glared at me like I'd promised Disneyland.
These are the moments that don't show up in our evaluations, but live forever in our group chats.
Coming up next, our wrap-up and final thoughts. What did we learn? Spoiler, it's not how to be impressive. Well, folks, we came, we flexed, we flopped. Gloriously.
But we did it with flair and acronyms and the misplaced confidence only a fresh pocket guide can give you.
This episode really hit home because nothing quite prepares you for the sting of thinking you sound brilliant and realizing everyone around you just wants you to stop talking.
Today's lesson, being smart is great, but being a clear, humble, and accurate, even better.
And sometimes the most impressive thing you can do is admit you don't know, or ask a question, or say, "I'll check and get back to you."
Seriously, "I don't know" is not a weakness. It's a strategy, a self-preservation tool, like a pager on silent.
Before we go, favorite moment from today?
Definitely the joint aspiration syringe snap. It's not just a mistake, it's modern art.
I'm still recovering from the fetal heart tracing mix-up. The balloons, the confidence, the crash landing, incredible.
I will forever cherish Lily describing kidneys as scared. Because now every time I see a hypertensive patient, I'm going to picture their nephrons hiding under a blanket.
You know, this is the stuff we don't get taught in lecture. The ego checks, the public flubs, the patient who watches you slowly unravel mid-sentence.
But here's the thing, we're all learning. We're allowed to mess up. As long as we keep growing, keep showing up, and maybe stop using terms like iatrogenital.
If nothing else, let this episode be a warm reminder that your worst academic misfires are also your best comedy material.
Because you're not alone in the awkward, and one day you'll laugh about it, even if today you're just cringing quietly in the resident workroom.
And if you have a story, something you thought would be a flex but became a full-body shame spiral, we want to hear it.
Hit us up on socials, drop a comment from wherever you're listening, or scream your story into a pillow. We support all forms of catharsis.
And don't forget to follow or subscribe, because next episode, we're back with more real talk, more laughs, and probably more cringe.
We don't know what'll happen, but we promise it'll be fun, ridiculous, and just a little too relatable.
Until next time, keep your presentations honest.
Your metaphors understandable.
And your kidneys unafraid.